Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Totally Local Podcast. Totally Local. We're all things local, or what we talk about. Monmouth and Ocean County, all small businesses, creative people, entrepreneurs, anybody that loves the Jersey Shore as much as I do. That's what we're talking about, and that's what we're gonna keep talking about. I have a lovely guest today. Tara Pimko from Hot Mess Studio. Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Aaron Levine, hey. LG Insurance.
I thought that was a lovely guess, but I guess I
wasn't sure who you were going to say.
That goes without saying, man.
Thank you. I was getting my watch party started, you know, on Facebook, so we get plenty of eyeballs joining us this afternoon.
Yeah, it's always like I'm always trying to like get the pie, like I'm trying to get it going, and then I want to share it. Epic shouts to my mom who texts me, and she's like, "Where is it? What's going on?" And I'm like, "It's coming, Ma. Don't worry.
Facebook.
<I'm
up there."
laughs> So, we're entering phase two. The governor has. Cool. Anytime you call something a phase, it's that much more enjoyable. So phase one, out with the old. Phase one, no one cares about phase one anymore. We're on to phase two.
Was there a phase one?
I think phase one was announcing phase two. I'm not sure exactly what was phase one. Aaron, do you even know what phase one was?
I think phase one is we're going to talk about phase one. And you can go curbside, you know, was phase one.
Okay.
The first rule of phase one was don't talk about phase one.
Well, they accomplished that.
Don't ask me about phase two.
Well, we're talking about phase two. Basically, they had restrictions, and hair salons and barbershops can reopen on June 22nd. Is that the right date for everything?
That is the right date.
All right.
It is.
Awesome. Good.
Although we have no idea what we're allowed to do yet.
What do you mean? You can't, like, you guys will be able to open, but you can't, like, cut hair or anything? Is that what we're thinking?
Well, there hasn't been any guidelines issued from the state. Oh, so man. They said salons and barbershops, but, like, I have a nail department, I have facials, we have waxing, and they haven't said any of those things. And a lot of times New Jersey's following New York and what they're kind of doing, and New York is saying phase one or whatever, however the phases are working, for opening salons that they can't do nails, they can't do facials, they can't do waxing. So we're like trying to collect information to book appointments, but we actually don't even know what we can book yet.
Listen,
or like we can blow dry.
Ahead of New York. We were following New York, but I think now we're starting to open up before New York. So I think we're finally getting ahead of the game.
Yeah.
With this June 15th and June 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Upcoming dates, which are awesome for you and for the hospitality and restaurant industry, being able to use outdoor space for dining, go to Red Bank and Asbury Park, and like your table will be 400 feet away from the restaurant. And I guess that's okay.
And I mean, maybe I should start a petition or something, because as far as waxings are concerned, there's a lot of people that were regularly waxing. This all happened. I can't imagine you can wax you don't wax yourself at home. Do people do that? I mean, can you do that? You don't recommend it. Hot Mess Studio definitely doesn't. You're like a professional. I can't wax. I can't wax myself at home.
I was like, oh, I'm going to be on a podcast.
Well, there's a lot of waxing that needs to happen. So people, sure. You know, talk to your local politicians and you know, let's get this moving. Has there been kind of like any kind of salon, like, do you talk to other local salons, hair places, barbershops about what they're doing? You guys work together on stuff like that, or how does that work?
So I feel like in the past that really hasn't been like a widely accepted thing, you know, like sharing information.
Yeah.
But one of the most incredible things through this, through the whole pandemic has been that one of my product lines, Orbe, my sales rep, put together this like group of local salon owners that carry the product. And we've been able to get together once a week for like an hour, maybe 2 hours, some of the calls, and really share information. And it's been so incredible to kind of like talk out like ideas and try to figure out like how we're going to make our salons really safe for our guests. And it's just been so incredibly helpful. And we've all said like, this is so out of the norm for salon owners to be able to get together and like share all their information, and that we hope we can keep it going because it's really helped all of us grow and come through this pandemic.
Yeah, I imagine that, you know, in the past, it might have been more of like, you don't want to talk to each other, you don't want to share stuff, but now it's kind of like, you know, this is the time for you guys to kind of communicate. There's plenty, you know, there's plenty of waxing, pedicures, and hair, you know, blowouts
to be had. There's so many people in Monmouth County. There's definitely enough people for everybody to grow and be successful and not feel like they need to compete with each other. Yeah. So,
well, that's cool. That's cool.
Time for change.
That works for all industries, you mm-hmm. know,
for sure.
You know, I'm always an open book. I'll share all my secrets. And if you want to take them and adopt them, good for you.
Yeah. I actually feel the same way about everything I do. It kind of, it separates the professionals, I think, from the people that are, you know, not really treating their business seriously. If you're hiding stuff, it kind of, I don't know, whatever. It's open. If you're willing to do it, good for you. I mean, speaking of open or the opposite, you know, therein, you're saying that there's no kind of, they mentioned restrictions, but they haven't told you what they are.
Like, yeah.
Is Governor Phil going to give you a call tomorrow at like 6 a.m. and just be like, hey, all right, here's the list. Like, how do you find out like what those restrictions are? Like who contacts you to let you know?
So usually it's just posted in, you know, like a state website. Basically they, you know, they post the guidelines. I have looked at the Tennessee Pledge, I've looked at Oklahoma, I've looked at Colorado, all the states that are going before us that have really great plans, and New York. So when New York came out, and then also, you know, this, we all were trained for a very good amount of time when we went to beauty school to sanitize our salons, to, you know, clean all of our implements, to really keep everything the way that it should be regularly. So I've kind of gone back and looked at the state board rules and regulations that were already implemented in our business, and just trying to make sure that like all of those boxes are checked so that, you know, when we roll out the new protocols, you know, hopefully it's just plugging in a few extra things that, you know, are important as far as COVID goes.
So like if I wanted to go get like, say, a haircut, do I have to wear a mask? Do you have to wear a mask? Does everybody have to wear like a full body, like just biohazard suit? Like how does that work?
So we don't know yet. And some states are saying it's optional. Some states are saying you have to, and some states are saying that it's really just in the hands of the business owner to make the decisions. I am like one of those people that is like crazy about everything. So my staff is wearing a mask. We ordered scrubs. So the whole staff is going to be in scrubs when we get open. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to like change when they get here. We have cubbies. I keep joking that it's like kindergarten now. It's like you have your cubby. We have the AM shift and the PM shift as far as the new schedule goes. But everybody's wearing a mask. We're doing temperature checks at the door. You know, like all these different things that we're putting into place, regardless of what comes out in the protocols, just to make everybody feel really safe. And one of the biggest things I've done here is I've installed an air scrubber into my HVAC system so that it like sanitizes the air, which is actually one of the best things that you can do as far as like keeping your space safe.
Interesting.
I saw that you did that. The Remy Halo.
Remy Halo.
Mm-hmm. I've had that in my house for a couple of years now, and we love
it's
it.
Incredible.
Great.
What is it called?
It's called the Remy Halo. You know, so I put one in my house a couple of years ago. More diaper related, I guess. I don't know.
diaper related.
Anthony Moriello looking for a Remy Halo. I'll connect you with my HVAC guy, Coastal Refrigeration. He's got a bunch in stock. He just got another dozen in.
Wow.
Yeah, you put it on the right outside the blower side of the HVAC system, and it like ionizes the air and kills viruses and bacteria and stuff like that with black lights. Weird technology, and it's pretty cool. It actually works.
Go science. I love it. Do you feel, Tara, do you want your customers to wear a mask when they come in, or is that up to them? What do you think?
Right now, we're going to require that everybody wear a mask when they come in.
Mm-hmm. What if I want my sideburns cut? How are you going to do it?
This is something that came up in the owners group, but we're actually going to have medical tape available. So we have masks, disposable masks, and then we have surgical tape so that you can tape it onto your face, and we can do around the ears, or if somebody's getting color, they'll be able to get color done and not have to worry about ruining their own mask.
I have a feeling that you're going to be have people just been calling you? I have a feeling that you're just going to be inundated that women will have their just roots down a few inches. They'll be a little frazzled, slightly hairy, their toes looking funky, and they'll just be wrapped around the block being help me. Have you been getting a lot of calls?
Yeah. So the second the announcement came out, everybody's the voicemail is full, the emails are coming in crazy. So what I did is I created a booking form on the website so people could go to the website, fill out the booking form, and then it just populates into a spreadsheet for us so we can keep it all really organized. And some of the service providers are coming in to book their own appointments. One of the questions on the form is, have you done anything to your hair during quarantine? And so it's some of the responses are actually pretty funny. So then we can take that question and implement a virtual consultation to kind of figure out how much time we're going to need to fix.
Yeah. It's a whole new era. Oh, man. So you sound like you're kind of, as ahead of the game as you possibly can be. There's a lot of other local businesses. You're on Cookman. You've been on, how long you were across the street and then you moved into that super cool building?
11 years I've been on Cookman.
How long has it been?
11 years.
Wow. Wow. You are totally local. Congratulations. So there's a lot of local businesses, obviously, in the area, a lot of them, on Cookman. I was really sad to hear the announcement yesterday that Modine is closing its doors. They kind of kept it sort of vague, but, especially now that they're lifting restrictions, they were doing so many takeouts. They were doing so much. Have you talked to them about that? Have you talked to any other local businesses that may be struggling or what their plans are going into this is the summer now. It should be the time where people are making, the most money that they're going to make out of the year. Are people what's been the kind of the consensus with people that you've talked to?
So, I mean, it's been hard, obviously. I think everybody's feeling a lot more positive now that we have some concrete dates and people can start to plan for things. But it's been hard. I mean, we have a downtown business owners Facebook group that, we all kind of communicate in. I haven't spoken to the crew over at Modine personally, but, my heart goes out to all the businesses. I mean, part of this space being feasible is that we do a lot of weddings. We had 120 weddings booked for this year, and most of them are rescheduling to next year. Yeah. And that's a heavy burden. It's there's just going to have to be a lot of hustle in here, to make sure that ends meet and to just do the smart thing as far as business goes, because, we got to keep the doors open. I have over 30 employees here and I love this space and I love being a business owner in Asbury Park and I love what I do. So, it's just we got to put our boots on and get to work, but there's definitely a lot of people that it's sad because we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. I would like to think that, and I've talked about this before, that the landlords, hopefully we're accommodating, we're working with the businesses in the area, everywhere, I guess, because it doesn't do anybody good, especially Modine made some really good food. They had some really good Laird's cocktails and I was supporting them from the beginning because they were delivering, they were one of the first places I saw that was delivering meals that were awesome. And also, you can get a bottle of Prosecco, which was nice. But, you know, I hope they bounce back or kind of, you know, take this time to kind of figure out. They're also helping out. We had Asbury Park Dinner Table. Is that what it's called, Aaron?
Yeah.
They were helping them out from the beginning. So, you know, you kind of root for people that were giving back to the community. You know, but I mean, it's kind of the thing where I guess we'll just kind of rebuild or see what happens. You know, as far as the protests and stuff are concerned, I just want to touch on it for a second. You know, obviously people need to have their voices heard and protest. Last time they had it outside the police station, basically, on Main Street, and they're having another one where they're going to go down Cookman. Is that what they said that was going to happen?
I'm not sure what the plan is. I believe it's scheduled for starting at Convention Hall and then ending at the police station.
Okay.
But there's not really much information about it. I feel like the city really kind of, you know, had a lot of information about the one the other day, and it was such a beautiful, like, just display of everyone coming out and being supportive and just really, you know, coming out for a really important cause and a really important message. And it was so special to see the city really come together and rally around, you know, something that needs to be talked about.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, you know, and as you know, my heart goes out to you know, everybody. You know, I want to make sure that people are safe out there. We were talking before a little bit about it. I have kind of like now, you know, with a newborn and stuff, like having a different perspective on, like, you know, the importance of local businesses, of employment, of having people, you know, that are in a community, that care about the community, that are going to bring their voices out, make sure that their voices are heard, and at the same time understand that, like, these local businesses, you know, they're working with the community and they want to make sure that everyone is safe and everything, you know, goes off without any kind of incident. Aaron, what have you been up to, man? Where were you today? You're busy all day, huh?
I've been busy nonstop. I mean, you know, we're watching what was going on in Long Branch on Sunday. We had protests from Pure Village to City Hall, and then they walked back down again to Pure Village. 100% peaceful, maybe not 100%, but mostly peaceful. I think it was great. The ones on Monday were great. You know, there was a YouTube streaming live from the steps of the post office. There were some great words that were spoken. So I'm really, you know, I'm digging what's going on. At the same time, I'm nervous for some of the after effects for our small business owners that are just able to get back up on their feet. But, you know, having things be peaceful and the police joining in is really awesome. Today I spent my morning at the food bank, Fulfill, Bank of Monmouth in Ocean County. I'm on the board over there. So we were working on some things moving forward, discussing, you know, COVID and the additional meals. You know, we're at about 16,000 additional meals going out the door per day.
Wow.
Between us and our 300 partners. So the need for food is still incredible. It's not changing anytime soon. Hopefully, you know, as more people get back to work, with restaurants being able to open outside next week, and then salons and personal care businesses, and then gyms and, you know, other small businesses right around the corner, people get back to work, and hopefully, you know, that insecurity will start to fade. But we feel there's going to be a long tail to where we're in right now. So anything that we can do for the food bank is great. And tonight there's a virtual gala. It's going to be Facebook Live at 6 p.m. I'll post a link up here. A big 50-50 that's going to go off. Tickets are $100. So it should be at least over $5,000 to the winner, if not more. Oh. So that's a bonus, you know. I've got 10 tickets. I hope I don't win because I'm going to give it back.
Right.
I could use that money, but, you know, at the same time,
so
I can't
take
the money away from the food bank, you know, so I'd re-donate it back in a heartbeat. So that's good. And then work is busy, you know. Thank God the real estate market's hot and we're working with businesses to get back open. big questions around reopening and what to do with employees and how to respond, right?
Yeah, there's certain businesses like Tara's where, like, I've talked about it on other podcasts where it's like you can't do a virtual haircut. You know, you have to you can't instruct somebody how to cut their hair over Zoom or it will not turn out very well. So, like,
that's not true. Actually, I have done that.
No way. You've told people?
I have some clients that they were just like, can you direct me to cut his hair?
Wow.
And I was like, okay. So, like, I get on and I get, like, my beauty school mannequin and I show them the sections and just kind of walk them through it. And, you know,
I stand corrected.
What it is. And then we were just talking about yesterday, I was having a conversation with one of my lead makeup artists that there's still a lot of people that, even though they're canceling their big weddings, are still having a small ceremony. And as much as we would love to be a part of that day, we can't, you know, like, we can't do makeup right now. We can't do anything right now, but, you know, going forward, we might not be able to do makeup right away. And so do we do, like, a Zoom makeup with a bride that's getting married that day and help her, like, walk her through the steps of doing her makeup?
Wow, that's amazing.
We were just talking about it yesterday. So
that's like, that's some forward thinking stuff that I wouldn't even have considered, but I guess that's the world we're living in now where you just kind of have to figure it out or kind of get a little innovative, you know?
I think that the people that are going to continue on and that are going to survive through this whole pandemic and the quarantine are people that are getting creative and thinking, like, beyond outside of the box. You know, like, I've had to come up with all these different solutions to, like, generate revenue and come up with different ideas to, like, help expand and grow the business. And even though there are practices that we're implementing because of this, there are things that we might continue to do as time goes on because we're finding that people really like them and they're helpful and they're helping me grow as a business owner and as a person and as an artist. And, you know, it's great to get my whole team involved. So we just have, like, crazy idea day.
That's so cool.
Like, crazy stuff and just kind of see where the chips fall.
That's
and
awesome.
Hopefully, you know.
What was that building, the building you're in now? What was it before it was you? Like, what was it originally? Like, it's such a unique looking shape. I don't know.
It is. It's a really cool space. And a lot of people don't realize how, like, far it goes back once you come in. But before it was me, it was the Passion Group, which is a commercial event planning group. They do, like, large scale events for, like, army recruitment and spring break stuff. So they actually still have an office, and that's my landlord here. Oh. So they're actually still in the building and they're wonderful. And he's been, like, amazing through this whole thing. But it was Emerald Tile for a while. It was a furrier, like, back in the 70s. I think, like, you know, my dad remembers, like, this being, like, all fur coats. And then there was, like, a balcony where, like, security used to watch over the whole floor. So there's definitely some cool history that goes along with the building. I mean, most buildings here in Asbury Park have a lot of really cool history.
Yeah, I'm glad that they've kind of, you know, saved and preserved a lot of it. And that they're, you know, keeping kind of the unique style as far as, you know, Cookman is concerned and all the buildings there. That's pretty cool. But, man, I can't get over the fact that it's like that movie Speed where, like, you're telling somebody to, like, how to defuse a bomb over the phone and you're, like, telling somebody how to cut their hair.
Yeah.
No one's made any mistakes where they're like, cut it here, and they cut it and you're like, no, nothing like that has happened.
I went to school for, like, a year to, like, learn all these skills, and then came out of school and trained for probably, like, 2 more years, you know? So it's not something you can just, like, pop on a Zoom and, like, you know, they know how to do it. But, like, when there's no other option, then
you get it done.
You get it done and you figure it out.
How many current employees do you have that have been kind of just waiting, like, to see what's going on? I mean, I don't even know, you know, I've been staying busy, but, like, what we just talked about, aside from you giving Zoom haircuts, like, you know, are you just staying in touch with your employees and letting them know that we're in phase two, even though we don't know what exactly that means? Like, what has that been like? What has that communication been like?
So one of the things that's been so important to me through the whole quarantine is really staying connected to all of my staff and to speaking to them, whether it's, you know, phone calls or text messages. We have two different group chats that we're in. And then I try to get like a Zoom meeting here or there, you know, to get everybody on and just kind of like, how are you feeling? What are you thinking? Like, what are some of the things that you want to talk about as we prepare to get back to work? That have come back to work and that are working on things like communicating with the clients and, you know, helping get everything prepared. I mean, they didn't announce the date and I was like, oh, it's time to start like thinking about things. Like a month and a half ago, I started ordering like sanitation supplies and, you know, disposable masks and plastic shields and like all the things that we need to get running so that when they said the date, I mean, nobody knew if it was going to be like, here's the date you can open in 2 days, or here's the date you can open in 3 months, or here's the date you can open, you know, in 3 weeks. And, you know, we got the date and it was 3 weeks away, but I feel very prepared to welcome our guests back to the salon, and I think my staff does as well.
Hell yeah. I mean, we all just want to get back to work and just kind of get the hell out of our houses. Aaron, how does, like, as far as like insurance goes, is there certain things that are coming out? Like, obviously, like Tara's talking about, you know, all of the things that she's going to implement, getting ready as far as making sure it's all sanitary and everything's good. Is there any kind of checklist as far as like insurance, liability, stuff like that, that you've been talking about with your clients in this regard? Or is it all kind of just...
We've been getting a lot of human resources related questions. Mm-hmm. And I quickly defer to the fact that I am not a lawyer.
Get a lawyer.
HR company.
Next year.
However, you know, there's been a lot of guidance with bringing in it, you know, a lot of it revolves around sensitivity and empathy and understanding if people are scared to come back to the workplace and taking necessary precautions, right? Temperature checks has been a big one. You know, wearing masks in public spaces or more crowded spaces has been another one. My staff is coming back on or about the 22nd or 23rd as well. But I also said, you know, you're not required to wear a mask. If we're meeting together in a smaller space, we'll do the mask thing. But everybody's workstation is more than 6 feet apart. Granted, we don't work with the public one-on-one for the most part. And I'm not taking temperatures. That's going to last for me like a day. Uh-huh. You know, we're eight people on the honor system. If you don't feel good, stay the hell home. You know, grab your laptop and you can work from your bedroom like you've been doing for the last 3 months. So, you know, I've got it pretty easy. Larger companies, not so much. Personal care companies, people that go one-on-one have it a little bit differently. And it's, you know, but at the end of the day, we're at a point right now where if you don't want to go back to work, you can start collecting unemployment. The 3 months is up of, you know, not being able to do anything. And we'll find somebody else, one of the 30 million out there that want a job to come to work.
Yeah, seriously.
Kind of where things are. And it's still, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where things go. But on the insurance side, for the employment practices liability piece of it, if you've got it, great. If you don't currently have it, you're probably beat. For the next little period of time. And that's it, but it's go time.
Cool. That's cool. I mean, so Tara, one of the things I love to talk about with people is like their origin story. You mentioned that you've been on Cookman for 11 years.
Yeah.
11 years ago, Cookman was not the Cookman we know it was today. What the hell were you thinking, Tara? Like, was like the rent mad cheap? Like what were you doing before that? Like what made you start your own business? Because, you know, having my own business, I know it's like daunting and a pain in the ass and a headache, but we do it anyway. So like tell me more about that. I'm just interested in hearing how people started.
Once upon a time.
Story time.
So I've been doing hair for 20 years. I worked in New York. I worked in Red Bank. 11 years ago, I was working at a salon in Red Bank that, closed. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of like just very like part-time. I didn't really feel like super connected to it. I loved it. It was one of my favorite places I ever worked, but I just always kind of knew that I wanted to, be a salon owner.
Nice.
And kind of do my own thing. And Asbury was like just happening. Like there was just this like energy and this momentum that like had started to happen in 2008. Probably a little before that. I think like Asbury Lanes like started in 2005. And so there was definitely this like really cool, like underground artist community that was starting to come up here. And I grew up in Ocean Township in Winnemassa. And I don't know, I always grew up hearing stories about Asbury Park and like what it was like back in the heyday. And I was also at the time working for the Springsteens. I did Patty's hair for about 10 years.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And so I was like going to the house, doing her hair there. And I just like, I always wanted like my own little space. Like I wanted a little studio and I wanted a little dog that I could bring to work with me. And then I had heard about some really cool like artist lived workspaces down here in Asbury. So I connected with a local realtor who didn't have anything like that available. But he's like, I do have the space on Cookman if you want to see it. So I went to see it and it was like bigger than I had wanted. I'd owned a salon before. I just wanted like a little studio, like almost like a salon suite to do something in. And that was like a Saturday or a Sunday. And then Tuesday I went to work and found out the salon in Red Bank was closing. And I was just like,
it's a sign.
It's a sign. So I called the guy and I was like, hey, is that space still available? Like, it's Asbury. Yes, it's still available.
Let me check. There's like a
2009. So I said, okay, well, I think I would like to have it. And he's like, all right, come by on Friday. I'll give you the keys.
And I was like, you're like, wait a second.
I was like, do I get a lease or like?
They're like, just take it. Just take it.
He was like, I'll pay you to take it.
Wow.
No, so I went and I picked up the keys and I like went there and I opened the door and I remember like sitting on the floor and being like, holy crap, what did I just do? And it was like the best thing I've ever done, ever. Like so my cool. whole life came together. Down here in Asbury Park, like I met my husband.
Did you cut his hair? Is that how you met him?
No, I actually don't cut his hair. And he hasn't had a haircut this whole quarantine because
just grown.
It makes our marriage better.
Uh-huh. I hear you.
Like there's boundaries, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
You know.
My wife doesn't cut my hair either.
Yeah. I don't, you know, I don't make websites for my wife. So it's, I understand the biz. That's so cool, though. That's such a great story. How did you get hooked up with like the Springsteens and Patty? Just a friend of a friend? I have so many people that have like these one degree of separation stories from like, you know, from the Springsteens. That's wild that you were, you know, cutting their hair.
So I worked in the city for John Sahag and traveled all over the country teaching dry hair cutting for him. Mm-hmm. And they used to come in once in a while and get their hair done here, but that wasn't how I connected with them. I was working at the salon in Red Bank. It was called Visage. It was in the Galleria. Mm-hmm. And her personal assistant came in on a Saturday. I was supposed to be like doing a hair show in Vegas and then I couldn't fly out because of weather. And my book was like wide open on a Saturday morning and she had called and just said like, hey, is anybody available to do color for me and my sister? And I was the only one available. So she came in, I did her color. She was a redhead. Uh-huh. And she went back to work on Monday. And I guess Patty was like, whoever did your color, I want them to come to the house.
Oh,
and
wow.
Called. I remember I had on blue jeans and like a white tank top and I had a red bandana in my hair. I left and I went to my cousin's house and she's like, were you like going for the whole Born in the USA look? And I was like, oh my God, do you think I thought that?
You're like subconsciously like thinking of the album cover and like, wow.
It was like I left the house like that morning and just kind of never
thought about it.
I didn't know that I was going to get that call. So it was just like, but I'll never forget it. And then like, I was like, oh my God. But that led to 10 years of just going to the house and doing her hair and
lots of
great concerts.
So after that first, you open your business, you have the building, you're sitting on the floor, then you get up and you start working. I'm imagining you hire a couple people. Was it just like you or did you have in the beginning you were going to hire people?
I worked by myself for probably the first year. And then once I mean, like, it was just crazy. Like the rent was so low. I think it was like less than $1,000. I think I was paying like $800 a month or something when I first moved in. So I was like, all right, well, I could do like, I don't know, eight haircuts and and clear the rent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was like, I could do that in a day. So it was great. Like, it was a great time, you know. It was kind of sketchy down here, and I had like metal pull down gates. Like, I was just saying that the other day, like, I had these like metal pull down gates on the front, when I first opened, and I was so happy to like take them off at some point, you know, and just,
yeah, just not have like, them there. What, is
like kind of get going down here. It's like magic.
Are like weddings, is that like the moneymaker as far as like a salon or styling? Is that like where, you know, like a portion of the things like come in, or is it more like the regular, just people coming in on a regular basis, having that consistency? Like where's the bigger draw?
It's both. Huh. And when I had the little studio, I was at that first studio, I was about 1,000 square feet, and I had like 4 chairs. So when we were doing a wedding on a Saturday in the studio, like that was it. We couldn't do anything else. So we couldn't book any other services. We couldn't, you know, book multiple weddings in a day. So it was hard to sort of grow. And then I think like I hit a point where we had maybe the last year I was in the little studio, I think there were like 60 weddings that year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, the staff was growing, and it was kind of like, okay, so do we stay here and keep going even though we've plateaued, or is it like another location, or what's going to, you know, who knows what's going to happen. And it's funny because, you know, it's like, and we were kind of talking about this, like as you get older, like you learn stuff, right? And you have takeaways from different experiences. And in 2014, I got married, and then 2015, I had my daughter Dakota. And I took my eye off the ball, you know, like I took my eye off the game a little bit, and I almost lost my business because I was just kind of like living my best life, you know, being married and having a kid. And I wasn't really there to like support my team and be a good leader. And like literally everything almost fell apart. And it was one of the greatest learning experiences that I could ever go through, because now it makes me value what I have so much more, and really make sure that like I'm leading my team and I'm communicating with my team and I'm there no matter what, even if I'm, you know, going to Dakota's pre-kindergarten graduation, that like I'm still there to connect with my staff if they need me. And sort of like in the midst of all of that happening, this space became available.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, like, okay, so like I'm kind of teetering on like I don't have a business. Uh-huh. Except I have like a business, and I have passion and drive. So I put my boots on and I got back to work, and I like reprogrammed my brain and just made this giant change within myself and how I look at business and how I look at everything. That, so it's
great.
I went from, you know, 3.5, 4 years ago having 3 employees to today I have 30 employees in 2 locations.
Wow. Where's the second location at?
In Pure Village.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
In the Wave Resort, I have a little blow dry bar.
Oh, nice. I mean, it's a whole different it's a whole different game. It's a whole different, you know, when you go from like doing what you are passionate about, and then you realize that you're passionate about like teaching others, and then having a business, like owning a business is a lot different than working for a business. I mean, I guess that sounds kind of simple until you're like in it and you have to like manage people. If you don't manage them, then they're just like wild animals. You don't know what they're going to do or what they're capable of. You really have to be there and kind of nurture those relationships. Otherwise, you know, it's super stressful at times, but for some reason, you know, we keep doing it for some reason.
And I think that's the point too. It's like, you know, like I could be like, I'm the boss and this is how I want things done, but like, that's not going to help anything either. And so it kind of goes back to like being in that group with other salon owners and like all the conversations and the takeaways. And it's about nurturing relationships. And that's my business. Like, I'm in service, you know, like I nurture relationships with my clients and with my team, my tribe, you know, like it's the only way to do it.
Do you find that like by being on Cookman, you know, obviously, you know, personality, professionalism, these all come into play, but it's also like proximity, the three P's. As far as like you were on Cookman, say like a business like Watermark, shout out to Russell, like, you know, he's a venue, he has people there. Do they like, would they recommend you? And like, is that how you kind of grew in some respects, just by kind of having this network of people that were in it together in Asbury Park? Is that one way it like kind of grew that way?
Oh, for sure. Uh-huh. Yeah. And, you know, growing and being part of this, it's like, I can't say it enough. It's like Aaron does, you know, the food bank and like being involved and doing charity work and, just being involved in different organizations. Like I sat on the board of the Chamber of Commerce down here for a little while and just, I'm always trying to get involved with things. And, you know, Mike, my husband, when we first met, he's like, I've never seen somebody give out so many business cards, but it's just like, it's important to make those connections and to connect with people, because that's how you're going to grow. You know, it's word of mouth. And if you set the tone and connect with somebody, they're going to remember that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a super important part of being, you know, I started this podcast because I love this area. I love Monmouth County. I even love Ocean County. You know, I love Monmouth County more, but Ocean County's there too. And, you know, we're all here. And it's funny because once you start meeting people, you realize you kind of know the same people, the people that are involved in what's going on, whether it be the nightlife or local businesses, you kind of see all the entrepreneurs or the people that are actually here. You know, there's certain people that don't understand that, or out of towners that might not get it right away, but there is definitely like a culture to this area. And I think that's great that I can't wait to read your book. And then I can't wait to watch the movie that's made out of the book of a struggling stylist, coming out of, you know, the mean streets of Red Bank to open up her own business.
Of Asbury.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's awesome.
Asbury Park.
That is so great. Tara, thank you so much. You know, you've been a great guest, and thank you for sharing your story. I hope people listening kind of understand that, you know, if you have a passion for something, this is a good example of just following it. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be frightening. You're going to have sleepless nights. You are not going to know what the future holds. But if you keep grinding and you really believe in it, then, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, you know? And, you know, I'm glad to see that you're obviously a staple in Asbury Park. And I'm glad to see that, you know, when things looked kind of gray or bleak, or, you know, you don't know what the hell phase two is, when there wasn't even a phase one, that you kind of took that as an opportunity to say, all right, what are we going to do to prepare? Things are not like they were. I'm going to come in and I'm going to do, you know, what I need to do to make sure that my employees are safe, that my customers are safe, and that we could keep rolling. So like, again, like Hot Mess Studio, Tara Pimko, thank you so much for doing this. And again, Aaron, my man, thanks for hooking it up.
Yeah, no doubt. It's always
Aaron,
great.
You're such a lovely guest.
The Mac. Thanks, Tara, for joining us and for the great words. And, you know, I'm excited to see businesses get back open.
Yeah. Please, Aaron, share all that information for Fulfill that you were talking about. Send it to me and I'll post it wherever I can post it.
Yeah, you got it.
Thanks again, guys. Again,
thank you for having me.
This is great. I'm so happy. I'm going to share all your, I put your website in the comments. I'll share more of that information for anybody that's interested. Let's see. Once again, this is Totally Local Podcast, covering all the local stuff that you need to know about. Please, you know, support local businesses in any way you can. If you need a haircut, you can do it over Zoom if you need to. Get in touch with Hot Mess Studio. But look for phase two. It's going to be so exciting. We don't know what it holds, but we all are waiting for it. June 22nd. Go check out Hot Mess Studio. Talk to Aaron about insurance. Guys, thanks again. Totally Local_podcast is the Instagram. TotallyLocalPodcast.com is the website. You're on Facebook, so you should probably, you know, just search for us. We're here. Guys, I can't say it enough. Thank you so much. This was great. Now I have to, here we go.
Shut it down.